Welcome to another episode of the Jam Pack Report today for December the 15th of 2020. Of course, this is a daily gaming news podcast meant to bring you the hottest news you need to know from around the industry. Hosted on YouTube and podcast services around the world 5 days a week, it's your one-stop shop for everything you need to know. And of course, yesterday we talked about the Cyberpunk 2077 situation on consoles and the subsequent apology that CD Projekt Red sent out, but that wasn't quite enough for me. Late last night, I sat down, had a conversational video in my living room talking about the state of the game, talking about the apology, and just really airing all of my grievances towards the game, and it seems like it's a video that's resonating with a lot of you here on the channel. So if you might have missed that on your feed, I will have it linked down below, or you can head over to the channel and find it that way. But I don't want to continue harking on Cyberpunk 2077 for the next days and weeks, because we know the game is broken, they know the game is broken. They're working on the game. We know they're working on the game. There really isn't much else to say. They made huge mistakes, and they did lie to players, but there's no need to continue bringing it up week after week, unless there's some kind of big newsworthy piece of content to share. Then we'll bring it up week after week. But as far as the status of it currently, we aren't going to be talking about it too much on today's show, but we will have a bit of a follow-up because of some open critic moves that were made at that site. But with that being said, we've got to talk about the biggest news of potentially the month, really, because Vin Diesel doesn't just appear in Ark 2, he's also its executive producer. He's living life one development milestone at a time. All right. At last Thursday's Game Awards, there were quite a few surprising trailers. One of them was for a prehistoric action game that we soon learned was Ark 2, surviving Fast and Furious actor Vin Diesel. It turns out appearing in-game is not his only contribution. In a press release, ARK creator Studio Wildcard announced that Vin Diesel has joined the company as president of Creative Convergence and will also act as an executive producer on both ARK 2 and ARK the Animated Series. He'll appear in both as Santiago, a new protagonist seen in the ARK 2 reveal trailer. It's pretty rad to see Vin Diesel lending his likeness to a game, especially one that is not Fast and Furious Crossroads. Celebrities have been involved in gaming before for brand boosters like the recently announced Xbox Space Jam game, but in recent years it has felt like we've seen a general uptick. Keanu Reeves appeared in Cyberpunk 2077 this year, and upcoming Annapurna published indie 12 Minutes has a surprisingly star-studded cast. Vin Diesel seems to be taking an interest in the production of the follow-ups to Dino Survival game ARK Survival Evolved on top of appearing in the game, though it probably does not hurt that he has reportedly played thousands of hours of ARK. I say that because he's apparently already hard at work. As noted by PC Gamer, a recent bug fix that went out on the base ARK game was due to a bug report from Vin Diesel himself. That's one way to make a good first impression at the company. ARK 2 will debut for next-gen platforms alongside the ARK animated series sometime in 2022. First and foremost, 2022 is a very far distant future. Who knows if this game is going to come out then? Hopefully it will, but very interesting to see that Vin Diesel is the executive producer on ARK 2. Did not expect to read that in my headline, but again, as the article does point out, he has been playing ARK for a number of years at this point, and what always amazes me with celebrities is how much they can actually do. I don't know if it's because they have a personal planner that kind of organizes their life, I don't know if it's just because they have an incredible amount of motivation, but imagine being essentially a rich movie star, and then you're like, you know what, I'm going to go be the executive producer on a dinosaur video game. What a strange turn of events that one really is. But Vin Diesel, of course, very talented man, I suppose we will see how this one goes, but executive producer Vin Diesel is going to be bringing us ARK 2 in 2022. Now let's move on to the next topic of the day. OpenCritic has issued a warning that urges players not to buy PS4 and Xbox One versions of Cyberpunk 2077 for the first time in its history. It's made this move. Reviews aggregator OpenCritic has begun to show users of the site a pretty unavoidable warning when they start checking out review scores for Cyberpunk 2077. An official statement issued by the site at the top of the Cyberpunk 2077 OpenCritic page reads, quote, "This game has significant disparities in performance, player experience, and review scores between the PC, next-gen consoles, Xbox One, and PS4 versions. The OpenCritic team and several critics suspect that the developer CD Projekt Red intentionally sought to hide the true state of the game on Xbox One and PS4, with requirements such as only allowing pre-rendered game footage in reviews and not issuing review copies for PS4 and Xbox One versions, end quote. It seems that OpenCritic intends to keep the warning pinned to the page until February 2021, when the developer has stated they will begin rolling out PS4 and Xbox One patches aimed at improving the state of the game. Console review copies of Cyberpunk 2077 were only offered after the PC version of the game's reviews were out, and some players believe that they were misled in their decision to buy the game on last-gen machines. Based on its 8 million pre-orders and the impressive feat of already recouping development and marketing cost, as well as achieving the fastest-selling PC game of all time mantle, it's safe to say reception to the game so far has been mixed. If you've actually got a playable version of the game, you may be interested in the Cyberpunk 2077 guides from VG247, and of course every outlet is covering the game very deeply over the course of the next few weeks, both because of the news and because of the game itself. Now, I disagree with one statement that was made here from VG247. They said, based on its 8 million pre-orders and the impressive feat of already recouping development and marketing cost, as well as achieving the fastest selling PC game of all time mantle, it's safe to say the reception to the game has so far been mixed. That isn't true. Because just because something sells a lot of copies does not mean that it has been well received. Now, that is not to say that PC players are not living the high life right now, because they are, and especially those that have the newest graphics cards, the 3080s, the 3090s, they're living the dream, because that is one of the best looking games of all time, and Cyberpunk 2077 will eventually be good on Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. But right now, in December of 2020, it's clear that the marketing team behind the scenes of the game, the players that were looking towards this gameplay example that CD Projekt Red shared showing last-gen, quote-unquote, hardware running their new RPG, there was just a lot of misinformation here. And so, just because the game sold incredibly well does not mean that it was received well, because I bought the game and I didn't receive it that well, and I'm running it on a next-gen machine. I can't imagine how poorly it runs on a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One. But with that being taken into account, it is good to see that OpenCritic is issuing this warning, because players need to know what they're getting in on. Players need to know what they're paying for, and if they do want to get the early version of Cyberpunk 2077 that is going to be the redemption story that CD Projekt Red wants it to be, then they absolutely can, but they should know what they're getting into, especially if they're running the 2013 PlayStation 4s and the Xbox Ones. That is going to be a very different experience as compared to what you'll get whenever the next gen update drops on the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 sometime in 2021. But OpenCritic has issued a warning, so you can read that if you would like over on their reviews page. Now, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are going to collaborate to make gaming safer. This includes efforts to fight hate and harassment. Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are setting aside their usual rivalries to improve online gaming. The companies have outlined a set of common principles for safer gaming, particularly for younger players. The concepts are not radical, but make it clear they won't tolerate toxic players and other forms of abuse. To start, the three promise to offer prevention tools like customization, easy-to-use safety tools, codes of conduct, and systems that prevent abuse before it happens. The companies also vow to work with government, law enforcement, and industry partners, such as ratings boards, to foster safety. They believe hate, harassment, and exploitation of young players have no place in gaming. The gaming giants likewise want to make it easy to report abuse based on clearly outlined rules, and say they'll respond to all lawful requests from law enforcement. This won't necessarily lead to any significant changes in strategy at any of the companies. It's no secret that Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony all have varying forms of parental controls, anti-abuse policies, and other measures to keep online gaming pleasant. However, the common front could reduce inconsistencies and otherwise set expectations no matter what platform you use. You know the companies won't let caustic players ruin the experience for others. This was a post that I personally saw on the Xbox Wire. I don't know if it went out on any other outlets, but any kind of move to make gaming safer is one that really should be taken into account, because while there is so much good that can be done from the gaming industry, there is also an incredible amount of bile and volatile just hate that can spew from the corners of this industry and of this community. And so, to be able to combat that and to be able to pair darkness with more light, for lack of a better term. I know this sounds very melodramatic, but ultimately, to make a better industry is something that we all should strive for, and one that is inclusive of everybody, because gaming is for everyone. And we've heard this thrown around, and again, it's kind of one of those dramatic feel-good moments. But really, it truly is, because one thing that I've learned and that I've seen more of in 2020 is a diversification in the gaming industry, especially because of the Twitter communities that I tend to find myself running with. I see a lot more people of color. I see a lot more people of varying ability levels that are able to join in and to play games together and to enjoy experiences and to get lost in narratives. And that is thanks to a collaboration throughout the industry. Media shining a spotlight on people, developers building tools for more people to experience their games, writers baking more people of varying backgrounds into their narratives, different pushes from different people that are helping push our industry forward and build a brighter and more inclusive future. And a lot of people are going to say that's, you know, again, a dramatic thing, one of those, I don't know how else to put it, you know what I'm saying. There are some people that are going to push back against that. But ultimately, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are collaborating to make gaming safer. I am going to also back that, of course, as well. Any way we can make gaming more fun and more welcoming for everybody, regardless of who they are, what they do, or what they are able to accomplish, is obviously going to be something that is a good move in my book. Now, to round out today's show, Stadia is back up after the Google outage. Users were unable to play anything for around an hour. Now, this specifically is not that big of a deal, but I do want to make a point here. A Google outage took place earlier yesterday with issues across the majority of the tech giant services. As well as wondering whether YouTube was down, users were unable to access important remote working tools like Gmail and Google Meet. That's why yesterday's show was late on YouTube. But those not at work were also affected, as Google Stadia was unavailable during the downtime. While the Stadia Twitter account did not comment on the outage, the streaming service's subreddit was awash with players wondering why their games had stopped working, with many reporting that they were receiving a 500 internal server error, which means that the server encountered an unexpected condition that prevented it from fulfilling the request. With Google servers down, it's no surprise that Stadia could not make a connection. It looks like Google services are now back online, as Stadia users are starting to report they're able to gain access once again, suggesting that the downtime lasted for less than an hour. Given the high-profile release of Cyberpunk 2077 on the platform recently, however, this is a timely reminder about a significant downside of digital game ownership. If the servers are down, you simply won't be able to play, even if you're currently working through a single-player experience. Stadia has been picking up more and more big games recently, as well as Cyberpunk 2077. It's received some of Ubisoft's recent major releases, as well as titles from EA, Activision, and Take-Two. Now, I have a friend at work who also watches the show. What's going on, Joe? Who is a staunch Stadia backer. Starch is what you spray on shirts and also use in cooking occasionally. He is a staunch Stadia backer. And so he swears by the Cyberpunk 2077 experience that he is having, and you see that echoed throughout the social media verse and the gaming industry, where a lot of people are talking about how good the Stadia version of Cyberpunk 2077 is. But whenever the Google servers go down, you are unable to access any of your games. That's a huge bummer. Now, Google could remedy this, and they could allow for a key system to be implemented to where you can play offline. That could be something that you do, but then you just have another storefront. The magic isn't there because you aren't really using the power of the cloud. You're just downloading games. And so if you were to download Cyberpunk 2077 via Google Stadia, then go offline, you can't use the power of the cloud to process these games, and a 2012 MacBook won't be able to cut it. You're not going to be able to run anything on that. And so this is shining a spotlight on the threat that comes with this digital future that we see through Google Stadia. And the same can be said for a service like Amazon's Luna or Project xCloud. You just can't do it if you don't have a connection or if something is wrong on the provider's end. Now, that is not to say this is a frequent occurrence. This is the first time in my recent memory that I can imagine Google going down for a significant period of time, and even then it was only an hour and it was pretty much back up. A lot of people have started playing Stadia because of Cyberpunk 2077. Chris Shriver, that is a freelancer for IGN, I follow him on Twitter. He was talking about how good the game runs and how he will be playing that version of the game on his PC until the next gen patch arrives for the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5. A lot of people are starting to dive in, and Google has something here if they can continue harnessing goodwill and if they can continue providing value and explaining to consumers why they should give them a chance. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I'm not saying that it's going to be sticking around, and Google is confusing with their messaging because you don't see a lot of marketing push. You see a social media feed, and ultimately you see a couple of commercials here and there, but you don't see a lot. Amazon, kind of in the same boat. Luna hasn't really been heralded as their next big move towards gaming. Maybe I'm just missing some of the statements that are being made, but I can't find too much right now. But with that being said, Stadia is back up. If you do want to dive in and give it a shot, I've heard people are having a pretty good time. I've heard the controller is good. And of course, there are a couple of bells and whistles right now with a Cyberpunk offer that gets you a free controller. I know that is going to be a limited time offer as long as supplies last. So you can dive in and see if that's something you can take advantage of in your daily gaming life. But with that being said, that rounds out today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you enjoyed today's show, drop me a like down below and let me know what you think about everything we discussed here today. But specifically, what do you think about Vin Diesel in Arc 2? What a strange world we live in. And also, how do you feel about him being executive producer? Are you going to play the game? What do you think? Or you can always share your thoughts on Cyberpunk 2077, Google Stadia, anything we talked about here today. But until tomorrow, you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon, and peace.